Now we're holding on Ndallet Ahmed Bey's little bit past the middle of the Ahmed line against Dora Shirava. Good morning, Ali. Ndallet Ahmed Bey is a little bit past the middle line against Dora Shirava. We talked about the Mishnah told us again. We're talking the subject of our perek. The main subject of our perek is minhagim. We started by talking about the minhag in some places where they would work on erev Pesach morning, and in some places not. And that led us into a discussion of other minhagim, where in some places they do one, some they do the other. And one example we had in our Mishnah was there are places where they have the minhag to do malacha on Tisha B'Av, and others where they don't. We were talking about in that connection, since we're talking about Tisha B'Av, the question of whether you're allowed to eat and to whether you're allowed to eat and then do other things that are also on Tisha B'Av during Bein HaShmoshes going into Tisha B'Av. So far, what we said was Shmuel said that you are allowed to, and we tried proving what he's saying from a braisa that mentions that there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur except for Suffolk is mutter on Tisha B'Av, and we said Suffolk on the face of it means Bein HaShmoshes, so that would be what Shmuel is saying, but we said that not necessarily, because maybe it means talking about the case where you don't know what day of the month it is. Okay, so more on the topic of Tisha B'Av and a Bein HaShmoshes of it. Darash Rava. So Rava gave a public darasha where he said, Ubris menikas misanis mashlimas bay. Women who are pregnant or nursing have to fast on Tisha B'Av and they have to complete the fast. The same way as they have to on Yom Kippur. Now, obviously, it means the same as Yom Kippur in the sense of if it's going to be dangerous for them, then they're allowed to break it. But we mean that other than that, if they can manage it, then they have to, as opposed to the other four fasts plus Tainus Esther, that those are more lenient, and pregnant and nursing women are potter from those. And also Bein HaShmoshes going into Yom Kippur is also to eat and to do and in places where the minhag is not to do malacha, then also to do malacha. So not like Shmuel. V'chein Omer Mishmeid Rabbi Yechanan, and they said the same thing in the name of Rabbi Yechanan as well. So the question is, did Rabbi Yechanan really say that? Didn't Rabbi Yechanan say that Tisha B'Av is not like a tainis tzibur? Now, before we had said that Shmuel had said that there's no tainis tzibur in Bavel except Tisha B'Av. The various tanesim that they do that they make if there's no rain. We have a series, we have different series of them that are described in the Mishnayos and Tainus. So Rashi had said because they don't need rain in Bavel. We said yesterday that Ramban says because they don't have a Beis Din of Smuchim there. Whatever the case, the only one that has the full force of a Tainus Tzibur in Bavel is Tisha B'Av. But now though we're saying Rabbi Yechanan is saying Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainus Tzibur. So my love of Bein HaShmoshes, doesn't that mean as far as Bein HaShmoshes, that in other words, that a Tainus Tzibur, it would be Osir, that on Tainus Tzibur, you have to stop eating before Bein HaShmoshes, but with a regular Tainus Tzibur for rain, you have to stop eating before Bein HaShmoshes, but Tisha B'Av, you would still be allowed to eat Bein HaShmoshes, which would be like Shmuel said, like we learned yesterday, Shmuel said, so not like we're saying now. The answer is loy, the malacha. No, what he means is as far as malacha, that in places where they have the minhag not to do malacha on Tisha B'Av, then we're saying that Bein HaShmoshes is included as well. Not necessarily is Rabbi Yechanan talking about eating during Bein HaShmoshes. Maybe, in fact, you'd be allowed to. This is malacha tanena. What do you mean? We learned in our Mishnah that as far as malacha, Makom shenagu lasis malacha b'Tisha B'Av oisin, in places where they have the minhag to do malacha on Tisha B'Av, then they're allowed to. Makom shenagu shloi lasis ein oisin, in places where the minhag is not to, then you're not allowed to. And now the Mishnah goes on and says that Talmid Chachamim everywhere don't do malacha on Tisha B'Av, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says a person should always act like a Talmid Chacham. So, Vafilu Rav Shimon Gamliel loy Omar, even Rav Shimon Gamliel, who's saying that it's better not to, all he's saying is the key Yosef loy Ovid, that if a person sits on Tisha B'Av and doesn't do malacha, loy mechzi ki yuara, we're not saying it would be considered like gaiva, it wouldn't be considered like he's saying, look how great I am, I'm not doing malacha, and I'm better than you. So fine, even Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying, don't worry about that factor. Don't work on Tisha B'Av, don't worry that it's mechzi ki yuara. Aval meso loy osir, but even Rav Shimon Gamliel is not going so far as to say that malacha is osir in vein hashmashas of Tisha B'Av. So it can't be that Rabbi Yechanan is saying when he says that Tisha B'Av is not like when he says that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainus Tzibur, he can't mean that a Tainus Tzibur you'd be allowed to do malacha bein hashmashos, but Tisha B'Av you're not, because there's nothing to talk about over here. You're allowed to or not allowed to. It's a matter of minhag. So we can't say that's what Rabbi Yechanan means. So we're back to the question then. In that case, on the face of it, Rabbi Yechanan is saying that a Tainus Tzibur and Tisha B'Av are the same. Well, he says Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainus Tzibur, but then the question is, as far as what? We had Rava saying that Bein Hashmashos in going into Tisha B'Av is Asur. We have Rabbi Yechanan saying that Tisha B'Av is not like a fast day. If he doesn't mean that it's Asur Ba'asiyas Malacha, then what does he mean? Ela Mai Eina Ketainis Tzibur L'Tfilas Ne'ila. So what does he mean? That Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainis Tzibur means as far as davening Ne'ila. Now, nowadays, we only daven Ne'ila on Yom Kippur. But in those times, they had on the Tainis Tzibur, on the days that went, again, when they had, for example, when they had fasts that were declared because of rain, because they didn't have rain or because of various other tzaras, they would daven Ne'ila as well. So Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Yechanan is telling us, you don't daven Ne'ila on Tisha B'Av. And a reason behind it, the Rishonim bring, is because the other fast days are the tiniest tzibur, the ones that are made for rain or whatever, are made for the purpose of tefillah. So therefore, you want to add in an extra tefillah of Ne'ila. Tisha B'Av is not so much a day of tefillah; it's a day of avelos. So therefore, Ne'ila doesn't belong on it. So the question is, what do you mean? Rabbi Yechanan himself says that if you daven an extra tefillah, there's no problem of bracha levatala, because halavai a person should daven all day long. So what do you mean? You don't daven ne'ila on Tisha B'Av. You could perfectly well daven ne'ila. The answer is, okay, you could. The difference is, when it comes to a Tainus Tzibur, midirabanan, obviously all times of tefillah are dirabanan, but we're going to say that the Chachamim impose a chiyuv to daven ne'ila. As opposed to Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Yechanan wants us to know, there's no chiyuv to daven ne'ila. You want to daven ne'ila, go right ahead, but you're not obligated to. Now, Tosfos learns a little differently than Rashi, because Tosfos points out when Rabbi Yechanan, the original context of Rabbi Yechanan's expression, Olavayshi spaladim kolayim kolay, is talking about where a person is not sure if he daven. So then Rabbi Yechanan says, go ahead and daven again, because anyway, Olavayshi spaladim kolayim kolay, but not that, and then you have the dinim over there about that if you're going to do that, you're going to do it tefillas and dava, you have to add something extra in it. So here you don't have that, because here you davened already Ma'ariv going into Tisha B'Av and then Shacharis and Mincha. So what are you adding? So it's not a matter of suffix like it is over there. Okay, so Tosfos says it's more like this. Given that in some ways Tisha B'Av is like a Tainus Tzibur, and on a Tainus Tzibur you daven Ne'ila, then the Gemara is asking that why, in fact, is that the case, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that Levayshi, Spaladim, Kolayim, Kolay, why didn't the Chachamim make that, why indeed don't we daven Ne'ila on Tisha B'Av? And the answer is, you could if you want to. It's not a complete reshus. There would be a mitzvah in doing it. So it wouldn't be, in other words, there's three levels. There's reshus where something is completely optional. You could if you want to, you know, but if you do, there's no particular mitzvah in it. There's a level called mitzvah where it's good. If you do it, you get a mitzvah. If you don't, then there's no problem because you're not obligated to do it. And then there's chayva where you're obligated to do it. So Tosfos says Ne'ilan Tisha B'Av would actually be the Gemara saying over here, according to Rabbi Yochanan, would be a mitzvah. It would be the second category. So you're not obligated to, but if you do, you get a mitzvah for it. But okay. But anyway, so you can't say though that's a difference between Tisha B'Av and Tainus Sibur. Because that difference that on a Tainus Sibur it's chayva and on Tisha B'Av it's reshus is not really such a great difference that Rabbi Yochanan should be focusing on that. But the Gemara is saying that is a certain difference. There is a certain difference then between Tisha B'Av and Tainus Sibur, namely Tainus Sibur you have to say Ne'ilah. Tisha B'Av, you could if you want to, and there is a mitzvah in it. So that could be one possibility, what Rabbi Yochanan means when he says that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainus Sibur. Not necessarily is he addressing the question of Bein HaShemoshes. So we don't know whether he agrees with Rava or with Shmuel on that, but he could mean as far as Ne'ilah. The boy is saying my ainuk a tainus tzibur. Another possibility, what Rabbi Yochanan means that Tisha B'Av is not like a tainus tzibur, is la'estrim va'arba as far as the 24 brachas. The Mishnah tells us in Tainus that on the tainus tzibur that they would make for rain or for other tzaris, the chazan would insert six extra brachas into Shemana Esrei between the bracha of goyel yisrael of re'enav anyenu and the bracha rafa'enu. He would insert six brachas in there. We don't have that now because again we don't have a tainus tzibur of that caliber. But this is why the chazan says anenu in Shemana Esrei at that point, whereas we say it only in Shemaya Tefila. So Rav Papa says what Rabbi Yochanan means then is, not Rav Papa. Not Rav Papa, just the stomach of Gemara. Is saying that what Rabbi Yochanan means maybe when he says Einik Tainus Sibur is you don't say these extra six brachas, you just daven a regular 18 or 19 brachas Shemana Esrei on Tisha B'Av. Rav Papa Amamai Einik Tainus Sibur. Rav Papa says another possible meaning of what Rabbi Yochanan says that it's not like a Tainus Sibur. He means Einik Rishonis Ela Kachronis, just the opposite of what we're saying. We started with the assumption that he's talking about whether Bein HaShemoshes is Osir or Mutter, and we thought that he meant that Bein HaShemoshes of a fast is Osir, whereas Bein HaShemoshes of Tisha B'Av of Tainus Tzibur is Osir, but Bein HaShemoshes of Tisha B'Av is Mutter, and therefore that led us into a question. So now Rav Papa is saying, actually, within the Tainus Tzibur themselves, you have different levels. You have the Mishnah describes over there, you have the first three. And if no rain fell yet, then they have another three. And if not, then they have another seven. And the first three are more lenient. In particular, for our purposes, they start only in the morning, like Shivasa B'Tamuz and Tzum Gedaliah and the rest of that series. They start only in the morning. So on the other hand, the next group of fasts, the ones that begin, the next group of three, as well as the last seven, those all begin the night before. So Rabbi Yochanan wants us to know, don't think that Tisha B'Av is like the earlier ones and it starts only in the morning. And of course, you're allowed Bein HaShemoshes. Rather, they're like the last ones where you have to stop eating before Bein HaShemoshes begins. And therefore, Va'asura, so it's actually also Bein HaShemoshes. So it comes out that Rabbi Yochanan is being consistent with what he said. On the one hand, we can say Rabbi Yochanan had said, like Rava, that Bein HaShemoshes Shaloi is Osir. On the other hand, when he says Tisha B'Av Einik Tainus Tzibur, he's saying the same thing in other words. He's saying that on the earlier tiniest Tzibur for rain, you don't have to stop eating before nightfall, but on Tisha B'Av you do. So all of this would be not like Shmuel, where we said Shmuel said you are allowed to eat Bein HaShemoshes. Okay. The Gemara says Meisvi. Okay, I have a contradiction though. If you're going to understand Rabbi Yochanan that way, the Braisa says Ein Ben Tisha B'Av the Yom Kippurim Ela Shezes Sfeika Yosef Vezes Sfeika Mutter. There's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, except that on Yom Kippur Sufik is also, and on Tisha B'Av Sufik is Mutter. We brought that before in the Gemara. We wanted to say that. That Braisa agrees with Shmuel that you're allowed to eat Bein HaShmoshes, but now we're using it then as a question on Rabbi Yochanan. How could Rabbi Yochanan say that you can't eat Bein HaShmoshes if we see here it's saying Sfeikei Mutter? So my Sfeikei Mutter, La Bein HaShmoshes Shaloi, doesn't Suffolk over here mean in Bein HaShmoshes when it's Suffolk day, Suffolk night, and the Braisa is implying therefore, and the Braisa is saying therefore that you're allowed to eat during that time. So that would not be like, not like Rabbi Yochanan, and also not like Rava. And here comes the answer. Amar of Shisha, Bredi of Idi, Loy L'Kviya D'Yarcha. No, it means as far as the Kviya, so the month, which is the same answer the Gemara used before, that also of Shisha, we used of Shisha, Bredi of Idi's answer there also, that what it means is, if you have a Suffolk, what day of the month it is, Tisha B'Av, then Yom Kippur, you would be required to fast both days, and Tisha B'Av, you would have to fast only the one day. Rashi says that includes all the places where the Shluchim couldn't reach in time to tell them that when it's Rosh Chodesh. According to Tosfos, that not, because we say in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah that you don't have to keep 2 days Yom Kippur in that case, because it would be dangerous. But rather, we're talking about that. Let's say you're traveling in the uninhabited areas of Eretz Yisrael or something where you don't know when Rosh Chodesh is. So then you have a Suffolk, and because it's a Suffolk Daraisa, then therefore you have to you'd have to keep both days. So the Braisa doesn't contradict Rabbi Yochanan, because the Braisa is not talking about Bein HaShmoshes at all. The Braisa is talking about a Suffolk of what day of the month it is. Okay, now. Another point, let's get from that, Bryce. Another point, another implication from that. We're saying, other than that, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are the same. And that means as far as the Isurim of Tisha B'Av. So, Holochol Dvorim, Zeveze Shavim. So, the implication is, as far as everything else that's also on Yom Kippur is also Osir on Tisha B'Av, at least as far as the fast and as far as the Inuim. So Messiah, Rabbi Lazar. So therefore, that supports what Rabbi Lazar says. The Amar Rabbi Lazar, also Lelo Adam, she Yoshit. That's by the mind. But Tisha B'Av, a person is not even allowed to stick his finger into water on Tisha B'Av. In other words, when we say that bathing is also, we mean not just your whole body, or most of your body, even just your finger. Kederach Shasa, Lahoshit. That's by Yemek Purim. Just like you're not allowed to stick your finger in water on Yom Kippur, obviously, except for Negovaser and except for the certain exceptions. But just to put your finger in water, stam, in order to wash it, then you can't do on either one. So the Gemara says, Mesvi, though, I have a contradiction. So you're telling me then that on Tisha B'Av you're not allowed to wash any part of your body, but another Braisa says, in Ben Tisha B'Av the Tainus Tzibur, there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and a Tainus and the Tainus Tzibur, the ones that they have that they fast when there's no rain. Ela Shazer also Basias Malacha v'Zeh Muta Basias Malacha b'Makom Shenagu. The difference is that Yom Kippur you can't do Malacha, obviously, because it's Daraisa, as opposed to Tisha B'Av you could do Malacha in places where the minhag is to do Malacha. So the implication is Holochol Devreim Zeh v'Zeh Shavim. So the implication is that Tisha B'Av is like the tiniest Tzibur in everything else. The Ilu Gabi Tainus Tzibur Tanya. Now, when it comes to the Tainus Tzibur, even the last Tainus Tzibur, which are more severe, we still learn in a Braisa, when we say on those last few Tanesim that it's also to bathe, Loy Omru Elako Gufoy, that's only talking about bathing your whole body, Avapon of Yoda Viraglav Loy, but you are allowed to wash your face and hands and feet. So this Braisa is telling us by implication that Tisha B'Av is the same thing, because saying Tisha B'Av is like a Tainus Tzibur in many ways. Therefore, that would mean you are allowed to wash parts of your body on Tisha B'Av. On the other hand, we had the previous Braisa that said that implied that you're not allowed to, because it said Tisha B'Av is like Yom Kippur in most ways, and Rabbi Lazar is using that, or at least that supports what Rabbi Lazar says, that you're not even allowed to dip a finger into water. So what is it? Are you allowed to dip a finger into water on Yom Kippur or not? The answer is so. In other words, or the more underlying question is, what is Tisha B'Av like? Is it more like the Tanias Tzibur, the last 10 of the Tanias Tzibur, or is it more like Yom Kippur? Amar Papa Tana Kule Kule Katani. The answer is that the Tana in both of these braises, they're each trying to show a Kula of Yom Kippur, of Tisha B'Av. They're both of these braises come, from the same Tana. So in each one, he wants to show how Tisha B'Av has a Kula compared to what he's comparing it to. So first he says that Tisha B'Av is is more cow than Yom Kippur, namely that namely as far as Suffolk, when you have a Suffolk whether today is Tisha B'Av or whether tomorrow is, then you only have to fast one day, as opposed to Tisha B'Av, you have to fast the 2 days. Then he continues. Also, Tisha B'Av, on the other hand, in certain ways, Tisha B'Av is more lenient than a Tainus Sibur, namely as far as Malacha. So in other words, he's not focusing on the fact that Tisha B'Av has Chumras over a Tainus Sibur. So we were thinking that he's saying Ein Bein means he wants to point out both the Kulas and the Chumras of Tisha B'Av relative to Yom Kippur, and therefore you're wondering then what's the deal as far as Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, and as far as Tisha B'Av and Tainus Sibur, and you're wondering therefore, so what does he mean by saying then that Tisha B'Av is like Yom Kippur, is more lenient only as far as Asiyas Malacha, implying, but and you're wondering, so what about the fact that it's more chomer as far as bathing, as far as even putting your finger into water? The answer is the Tana of this Braisa is not addressing that point at all. He just wants to focus on the fact, he wants to tell you that for the most part, Tisha B'Av is more stringent than Tana Sibur, but here's an area where it's more lenient, namely as far as Malacha. So not necessarily is he addressing the question of bathing or not, and therefore there's no contradiction between that and the first part of the Braisa, and there's no contradiction with what Rabbi Lazar is saying, that you're not allowed to even dip your finger in water. Okay. So that's that. So the bottom line is that Tisha B'Av is much like Yom Kippur in certain ways. In particular, we go like Rava and like Rabbi Yochanan, that Bein HaShmoshes of it is Osir. We also say that it's like Yom Kippur as far as the Chamisha Inuyim, as far as all the things that you're not allowed, besides that you're not allowed to eat and drink, that you're not allowed to bathe or smear cream or lotion on your skin and wear shoes and have relations. All of those are the same Tisha B'Av as Yom Kippur. The only difference is that as far as matters of Isser V'Heter, that you don't, that if there's a suffix what day Tisha B'Av is, you don't have to fast 2 days, unlike Yom Kippur. And as far as the tefillas, that you daven ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, you daven it on Taniyas Tzibur, you don't daven it on Tisha B'Av. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, v'chol mokam tamidei chachamim. We said, regardless of what the local minag is, tamidei chachamim always don't work on Tisha B'Av. And Rav Shimon Gamliel said, a person should always act like a tamid chacham in that regard and not work on Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara asks, the memory of Shimon Gamliel Sava Leichashin Liyuara. So you're telling me that Reb Shimon Gamliel says that you're not concerned about Yuara. You're not concerned that if he's not doing work, then it's going to show like he's a big shot. Like, look what a great Talmid Chacham I am. It sounds like the Chacham are concerned about that. So the Chacham are saying, if you really are a Talmid Chacham, then don't do work on Tisha B'Av, but don't pretend to be a Talmid Chacham if you're not. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel seems to not care about that. The problem is that we find elsewhere in Brachas where the Chachamim and Reb Shimon Gamliel hold the other way around. The opinions are flipped. The Tanan, we learned in a mission over there, Chosen im yirtza likras kriyashma laila harishin, if a Chosen wants to say kriyashma the first night when he gets married, kore, then he could, even though he might not be able to. So now you need kavana for kriyashma, but if a person feels that he can concentrate, then he's allowed to. And Reb Shimon Gamliel, I'm a loy kol roitz a little as Hashem yitil. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, don't, because not everybody who wants to take on himself the crown of saying that I'm a porush and a yorichet, that I don't want to ignore Malchus Shemayim even for one night. Not everybody who wants to take it, because mechzik yora. So if he's an actual Talmid Chacham, then yeah, you have the example it mentions in the Mishnah over there that Reb Gamliel himself said Kriyat Shema on the night he got married, and he said any Shemei Levata Mekem Malchus Shemayim. Fine, but that's Reb Gamliel. But Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying, don't think that applies to the average person. So there, Reb Shimon Gamliel is concerned about Yuhara, and the Chachamim are not, and here it's the other way around. So how do we reconcile all that? So Rabbi Yechanan says, okay, very simple. You have to flip around the opinions. Either here or in Brachas, the opinions were reversed in the Mishnah. Rav Shisha braided of Idi Yom Aloy Tepuch. Rav Shisha braided of Idi says, no, you don't have to flip them around. You can reconcile them like this. Dirabbanan ad Rabbanan loy kasha. There's no contradiction between the two opinions of the Rabbanan, because like this, hocha kivin de kolei alma avdi malacha. Here, you're talking about a place where the minhag is to do work. So everybody is doing work on Tisha B'Av. Ve'ihu loy ovid, he's not doing malacha, therefore mechzi ki yuara, so therefore it looks like yuara. Aval hosam, but in the case of Shema, kivin de kolei alma kori ve'ihu nami kori. After all, what does it mean? He's doing exactly the same thing as everybody else. They're saying Shema, he's also saying Shema. So therefore, loy mechzi ki yuara, so it doesn't really look so much like yuara. He's just going together with the crowd. Not necessarily. Well, you could be saying it in your house privately. You could be saying it in shul. But whatever the point is, it doesn't matter where exactly he's saying it. The point is, fine, everybody else is saying Shema at some point in the evening. So he's also. So therefore, the chum would say that's not considered mechzi ki yuara. Here, he's acting the opposite of everybody else because everybody else is doing malacha and he's not. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel ad Rav Shimon ben Gamliel like Kasha. There's also no contradiction about Rav Shimon ben Gamliel because it's like this. Hasam hud be'inin kavana, because in the case of Shema, he has to have kavana va'anan sadi, so we can be in effect witnesses de'lo motzi kavni daite, that he's not going to be able to be mechaven because he's too distracted over his marriage, the fact that whether he's going to find his wife a basula, etc., as the Gemara discussed over there. Therefore, if he now says, you know what, I'm saying Shema anyway, merci ki yora, so that kind of thing looks like yora, like he's saying, look what a yore shemayim I am. Aval hocha, but over here, the fact that he's not working on Tisha B'Av, loy merci ki yora, that doesn't look like yora, amri, because the people will just say, malacha udelesle, okay, he's not working because he doesn't happen to have any malacha to do today. After all, puk chazi, kama batloni, ike b'shuka, go see how many people there are, how many unemployed people there are in the marketplace, so it doesn't look like so people aren't going to think he's not doing malacha because he's such a baal gaiva, he's acting like a tamad chacham. People are going to say he's not doing malacha because right now he doesn't have any malacha to do. So therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, go ahead and do that, and if people start wondering why he's not doing malacha, why is he going against the local minhag? Okay, because he doesn't happen to have any malacha to do. The actual halacha is, as far as Shema, technically the halacha is like the Chachamim so what it is like this. Nowadays, actually, the URA with Shema goes the other way around. Most people, when they say Shema, don't have that level of kavana. So adarabba, if a person were to skip Shema on the night of his wedding, then that would amount to URA. That would amount to saying, usually I'm such a Yore Shemaim, I have such tremendous kavana in Shema, but now I can't because I'm distracted. So therefore, we don't really have that dispensation, and he has to say Shema like everybody else does. In the case of work on Tisha B'Av, what we say is technically you're allowed to, but technically you're allowed to after Chatzos, but if a person does Malacha on Tisha B'Av, then he's not going to see a Simen Bracha from it. One thing it says, what we're talking about is a malacha that takes a little bit of time. We're not talking about like all 39 malachas. You'd be allowed, let's say, to write, you'd be allowed to write something down on Tisha B'Av, let's say, or things like that. We're talking about like a malacha that's going to take a significant amount of time. That kind of thing you can't do. Planting a tree would be an example. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, I'm thinking more of the Mishnah says, Now we're finally returning to this matter of malacha on Erev Pesach, which is what we began the parak with. We started with that, then we digressed to talking about various other minhagim, and now we're getting back to the dinim about malacha on Erev Pesach. So v'chachamim omrim, b'Yehuda hayu oisin malacha ba'avi psachim ad chatzos. In Yehuda, they used to do malacha on Erev Pesach till Chatzos. Over Galil, lo hayu oisin kolikar. In the Galil, the minhag was not to do malacha. Not minhag. We're going to see in the Gemara whether we're talking about a minhag or an iser. They wouldn't do malacha at all on Erev Pesach. And the Mishnah continues, Halayla, what about the night going into Erev Pesach, so the night after the 13th, Beshama Oisrin, Beshama says it's also to do malacha then also. Now we're going to ask, well, what is, so we just said it's a minhag. Uvishilol matirin ad haneitzachama, Vishilol says you're allowed to do malacha until sunrise. Right. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. What do you mean, me'ikra tana minhago or l'vasoif tana yisura? First, we're saying that it's a matter of minhag. Then at the end of the Mishnah, we're saying b'shamay oisrim and b'sil matirin, which implies that you're talking about an actual isur v'heter. So what do you mean? So is it a minhag or is it a matter of isur v'heter? Amar Rabbi Yechanan, like kasha ha Rabbi Meir ha Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yechanan tells us that there's actually machloikas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda on that. Netanya, we learn in a braisa, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, but Yehuda ha'yu oisim malacha ba'avi pesachim an chatzos. In Yehuda, they used to do malacha until Erev Pesach, until chatzos. Over Galil, ein oisim kol ikar. In the Galil, they wouldn't do malacha at all. So, now the implication is, as the Gemara is going to say, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's an actual matter of isur v'heter. That in that, it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a matter. It's not just a matter of minhag. In the Galil, they actually considered it osur. They were machmer on themselves and treated it as osur. Like we had examples earlier in our perek, where you had things that in local places, they actually considered something osur. We had, for example, the example, let's say, of two brothers bathing together or wearing kudu kisun on Shabbos, where in these respective places, it wasn't just they said it's a nice minhag that we do or don't do, they actually held it's osur to do it. And then in the case of the brothers, it's because of possible Mishkav Zohar. And then in the case of the Kurdukisun, because they might fall off on Shabbos and you might carry them, etc. Kurdukisun has wide slippers. Yeah. Okay. So the point is Rabbi Yehuda is saying that so Rabbi Yehuda is saying that in the Galil, they actually consider it osur. It's not just a matter of minhag. So Rabbi Meir says, what kind of proof are you bringing from Yehuda and Galil? Ella, it's not a matter of Isser. It's just mokum shenogu lasis malacha oisin. In places where they have the minhag to do malacha, then they're allowed to do malacha. But mokum shenogu shelo lasis ein oisin. And in places where not, then not. In other words, it's purely a matter of local minhag. So since Rabbi Meir is calling it a minhag, then obviously that means Rabbi Yehuda must hold that it's an actual isur in the places where they don't, because otherwise, what's the machlokas? Rabbi Yehuda is also saying that there are some places where they do and some places where they don't. So it must be, in other words, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you were to do work in the Galil on Erev Pesach, then you'd actually be over on an isur because over there they don't do it. Whereas according to the Meir, even in the Galil, if you went and did malacha, okay, so you're being mashanim and minig amokim, you're creating machloikas, whatever, as we said in the first Mishnah of the Perek, but not necessarily you actually overrun an issur. Okay. So the first Mishnah of our Perek, when it said Mokum Shinagu Lasis and Shalai Lasis, that was according to the Meir. Our Mishnah then is going where it says that Bishamai holds its osur and Bisol says it's mutter during the night, is talking about according to the Yehuda that it's an actual matter of Isur Veheter. So the question is, Vasavar Rabbi Yehuda Abbas and Mutter Basis Malacha, are you telling me Rabbi Yehuda holds that on Yud Dalad Nissan you are allowed to do malacha? Because after all, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that in Yehuda they were matir to do malacha. So according to him, are there any places that you're allowed to do malacha on Erev Pesach? V'hotani, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha-menakish b'shloisha aser, if a person is pulling out weeds, so you have weeds growing among his grain, so he has to pull them out in order that they don't take nutrients from there that should be going to the grain. So he's doing that on the 13th. The nekrabiyode, and while he's doing that, accidentally he pulled out a stalk of grain. So now the problem is like this: we know that only grain that had taken root before the oimer is brought is mutter, becomes mutter when they bring the oimer. Otherwise, if it takes root only after the oimer is brought, then it's chadash, and you can't eat it until next year's oimer. So now the problem is like this: you uprooted the stalk of grain from the ground. Right, if it stays, if it doesn't take root again in the ground before the 16th of Nisan, when they bring the Korban Omer, then it's going to be Osir. Now, the problem is it's one stalk in an entire field. You're not going to be able to tell, and you're not going to be able to tell which one it was. You're going to end up harvesting it all together and grinding it all together and so forth, and you're going to end up eating it, and therefore you're over on the Isser of Chodesh. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Shoisla b'mokam atit." What you should do is replant it in a place which is where there's wet soil, where the soil is muddy. So that way it'll grow faster. That way it'll take root more quickly. V'ein shoisla b'mokam agorid. Don't plant it in a place where the ground is drier, where then it's going to take longer for it to take root. Now the implication seems to be, now, Rabbi Yehuda is only talking about this case where he did it on the 13th, not on the 14th. Now, in terms of the Gemara is going to assume that in terms of the amount of time that it takes for it to take root, it could even be done on the 14th. So why would Rabbi Yehuda be saying on the 13th? Must be because he's told it's also to do malacha then. So there's no possibility of a person weeding on the 14th because he's also to do that on the 14th. So in other words, the Gemara teaches out, Mechti sham inin leil Rabbi Yehuda. Now we find elsewhere that Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol ha'kava she'ena keletis l'shloisha yomim shuva ena keletis, that when you're grafting a branch onto a tree, if the graft doesn't take effect, if they don't start growing together within 3 days, then it's not going to afterwards. And the same thing would apply to replanting something in the ground, that it'll take 3 days for it to, that'll take three days for it to grow roots. Now, 3 days can be parts of three calendar days. If you're telling me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there are places where you're allowed to do malacha on the 14th, then he should have mentioned this case also when he's weeding on the 14th and say the same thing, that he's allowed to weed on the 14th. He's allowed to replant this thing on the 14th. And you have like this, Lomali Shlosh also. So why does he Dafka say that the last day when any of this could happen is the 13th? Vo'ikar beisav ha'chameso miktas chitzer. You have the 14th, you have the rest of the day, the 14th, all of the 15th, the beginning of the day of the 16th. So that's, you know, we say mikta seyem kakoloi. The Gemara is assuming that that means over here as far as plants taking root, that as long as you have parts of three calendar days, then that's enough for it to happen. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda could just as well have said that if this happens on the 14th, then you should replant it in wet soil, and then that way it'll have taken root by the time the 16th. By the time it's time to bring the korban to Omer, and it'll be mutter. The fact that he's not saying that, the fact that he says dafka the 13th, seems to show that he's saying on the 14th none of this would happen because it's also to do malacha in the first place. The answer is the Gemara says not necessarily. Amar Rava begolol shanu. So Rava says because the answer is not necessarily is Rabbi Yehuda talking about anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe he's focusing on the Galil. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that in the Galil they don't do malacha on Erev Pesach. He holds it's a matter of minug rather than isur, but still the fact is they don't. So therefore you can't be talking about doing it on the 14th because in the Galil that would never happen. But you're right, in Eretz Yehuda you would be allowed to, according to him. So the question is, what about the night going into the 14th? Even that, we said in the Galil, they still do malacha on that time. So you could still have the case where Rabbi Yehuda could still have mentioned the case where he does it on the 14th, namely the night going into the 14th, the night of Bedikas Chametz. And we see that not. The answer is Amar Rav Sheshes k'Beis Shammai. Okay, so Rav Sheshes says maybe Rabbi Yehuda is talking according to Beis Shammai. In other words, not that he holds the halacha is like Beis Shammai, obviously, but he wants to present a case that will work according to all possible opinions. So even Beis Shammai, who asks you to do malacha on the night going into the 14th, even they will agree that you could do malacha on the 13th, and therefore you could have a case over here where all this happens. But not necessarily is Rabbi Yehuda saying that lahalacha, that the 13th would be the last day to do it. Maybe you could do it the night going into the 14th, or if you're in Eretz Yehuda, even the 14th during the day. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi doesn't like any of these answers because what are you're forcing to say that Rabbi Yehuda is talking only in the Galil and only according to Beis Shammai. So Rav Ashi Omar la olam k'Beis Hillel. No, we can say that after all, Rabbi Yehuda is talking according to Beis Hillel. We can say it is talking about the night, but lefishen darkon shabnei adam l'nakash b'layla. People don't usually weed at night. So Rabbi Yehuda is not going to present a case where a person on the night going into the 14th is weeding and pulls out a stalk because just that it's not normal to do that anyway, to be weeding at night. You can't see clearly. You can't see what's a weed and what's not. So therefore, you're not going to be doing it. So necessarily, we're talking about doing it during the day. And again, in the Galil, they don't do malacha on the 14th by day. So he can't present that case. So therefore, he's mentioning the 13th. Ravina Omar. Ravina says you don't need any of that. La'olam b'Yehuda. We actually could be talking about, Rabbi Yehuda would be talking about even in Eretz Yehuda, at where you're allowed to do malacha on Erev Pesach morning. But the difference is, over hashrosha, when it comes to a physical thing like plants taking root, chad miktaseyim kakolei amrin, and today miktaseyim kakolei amrin. We're only going to say miktaseyim kakolei one time. So if he plants, so in other words, if he had planted it, so let's say he had planted it on the night going into the 14th. So fine, you have a full day of the 14th, a full day of the 15th, and part of the 16th until they bring the Omer. Fine, that's enough time for it to take root. When he says 3 days, it can be two full days and a little bit of a third. But to go so far as to say that we're going to consider part of the 14th from when he planted it and all of the 15th and part of the 16th, that we're not going to do. As in matters of halacha, we can do that, but not in matters of practicality of whether something is actually going to happen in the physical world, that it's not necessarily going to happen in that short amount of time. So therefore, Ravina says, Rabbi Yehuda had to present this case where you planted on the 13th, just Poshet, in order to have not because of the question of Malacha on Erev Pesach or not, but just because of the time it takes for it to take root. So we can't prove anything from that about what Rabbi Yehuda holds as far as Malacha on Erev Pesach. So we can still stick with what we said before, that Rabbi Yehuda says it's a matter of minug. Technically, it is mutter, but there are places such as Galil where they have the minug not to, and there you have to respect the minug amokim, but not as a matter of isur veheter, but just as a matter of that you have to respect minug amokim. Okay. Fine. Mishnah says, Reb Meir Omer, kol malacha shehischa makodim la'aba asa goyim reba aba asa. Any malacha that a person began before the 14th of Nisan, he's allowed to finish it on the 14th of Nisan. Now you have, avalo yascha v'tchila ba'aba asa, but you're not allowed to begin a malacha to begin with on the 14th, afa pishu yachol le'goyim reba, even though you're able to finish it in time. Again, we just said Reb Meir holds that it's a matter of isur veheter, or rather, we said the other way around. We said Rabbi Yehuda had said it's a matter of isur veheter. So there are places where they hold its mutter and places where they hold its aser. Rabbi Meir said it depends on minhag. So Rabbi Meir is saying in those places where the minhag. So Rabbi Meir is saying that you're not allowed to start a malacha on Erev Pesach, even if you can finish it on Erev Pesach. Now you actually have a few opinions of Rishonim what this means. Are we talking about we're talking about in places where one possibility, Rabbeinu Yonah says that even in places where you're not allowed to do malacha at a Pesach morning, such as Galil, as we just said, you would still be allowed to finish a malacha that you started on a previous day. On the other hand, most Rishonim, the Rosh and most other Rishonim, disagree with that. They say that no, in such places you can't finish at all. They say we're talking about places where it's mutter to do malacha erev Pesach, but what we're saying is you're allowed to finish a malacha. I think according to Rabbeinu Yonah, I think he says that we mean that even you'd be allowed to finish it after. That's what it is. Rabbeinu Yonah says you'd be allowed to finish it even after Chatzos, even though we said after Chatzos in all places also to do malacha. Most Rishonim disagree with that, and they bring a couple of other possibilities. Either the Rambam is the most machmir. He says that it means exactly that. If you started before the 14th, then you can finish it Erev Pesach morning, but you can't start it on Erev Pesach morning. And then you have the Rosh takes a little bit of a middle ground. Let me look it up because I learned this before and now I forgot it. We don't have it in here. I don't have the Rosh in this Gemara. None of these Gemaras have. Okay, it's fine. Whatever. You have different understandings over here of what we're talking about as far as when we say that you're allowed to finish Malacha on the 14th. Are we talking about in a place where Mokam Shenagu to do Malacha or not? Are we saying that maybe in a place where it's mutter to do Malacha, you're allowed to finish, but not in a place where it's also to do Malacha? Okay. V'chachamim omrim. The Chachamim say no. It's not a blanket thing that any malacha you'd be allowed to finish on the 14th. Gimul umenuyas oisin malacha ba'avi psachim ad chatzos. There are three types of craftsmen that can do malacha on erev Pesach till chatzos. The Elohen hachayotin ba'saporim ba'kovsim, tailors and barbers and laundrymen. Because the Gemara is going to explain why. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Afratzonin, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda says also shoemakers. So those would be allowed to do malacha on Erev Pesach, and maybe even to start malacha on Erev Pesach, as long as they can finish it before Chatzos. With Malosh and Ritzua, exactly, because the shoes were made of the straps, yeah. Yeah. So everybody else is not allowed, everybody else in places where they don't do malacha on Erev Pesach, then you're not allowed to. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Iboyelahu. Letzorech hamoed tnan. Now, when we're talking about then that you're not allowed, that you're allowed to do, that Rav Meir is saying that if you started a malacha before the 14th, you're allowed to finish it on the 14th, is he talking about davka where you need it for yomtiv? Al shaloi letzorech hamoed afilim migmo namiloi. But if you don't need it for Yom Tov, then Rav Meir would say you can't even finish it on Erev Pesach. Or maybe the Mishnah means even if you don't need it for Yom Tov, maybe it means if you need it for Yom Tov, you would be allowed to start it even Erev Pesach morning. Or a third possibility is maybe it doesn't matter whether it's Letzorech HaMoed or not. Either way, you're not allowed to start a malacha, but you're allowed to finish one that you started on a previous day. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Ava lo yascha b'tchila ba'abo aser, but you're not allowed to start to begin with on the 14th. I feel it's silt so cotton. I feel it's svacha k'tana, not even a small belt or not even a small hairnet. So even though you can easily finish them, in a couple of hours, but you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to start on every Pesach morning. Now, my afilu. Now, what do you mean afilu? Lav afilu hani del tzarech hamoyed. Doesn't it mean that even these things, which you need them for Yom Tov, you want to be able to wear them on Yom Tov, nigmar ein aschuli loy? And the implication is, and the Mishnah is saying, that you can only finish them, you can't start them. Miklal de shaloy letzarech nigmar nami loy gamirin. So the implication would be, it's saying afilu these you're not allowed to start on Erev Pesach, implying even though you need them for Yom Tov, implying that if you don't need them for Yom Tov at all, then you can't even begin them. Then you can't even finish them. The answer is no. Lo, that's not necessarily what it means. Lo olam de shaloi letzorech migmo nami gamrinan. Not necessarily. Maybe the braisa is implying that even if you don't need them for Yom Tov, you're allowed to finish them as long as you started them before Erev Pesach. Umay afilu. So what's the afilu? It means afilu hani nami dezut rininu. Even these things are very small. They're very quick to make. You would think that in effect the beginning and the end of them are the same thing. You finish it, you finish it, you start it, you finish it. It's practically the same thing. So maybe you could begin them. And therefore the Mishnah is telling us, therefore the Braisa is telling us that not. But not necessarily does that address the question of whether we're talking about something which is needed for Yom Tov or not. So we could learn it either way. We could say that saying, even though these things are needed for Yom Tov, you're not allowed to begin them on the 14th. And that would show that anything that you need for Yom Tov, you're not allowed to begin. Or it could mean that even these things which are small, so then it wouldn't prove anything, it wouldn't prove anything about whether you need them for Yom Tov or not. Toshma, Reb Meir Oymer, Kol Malacha Shei Letzorech HaMoed, any malacha that is needed for Yom Tov, Goyim Rababa also, you're able to finish it on the 14th. Amasai, now when does that, so again, now Rashi says over here again, Afilu b'mokam shaloi nogu lasis malacha, even in a place where they don't have the minug to do malacha. Again, so Rashi is one of the shittis that says that even in places we're not allowed to do malacha on Erev Pesach, you would be allowed to finish it in those places. Again, we have Rishonim who learn not like that and say that what it means in a place where also, that it means also period, only in a place where mutar basis malacha, you're allowed to finish a job that you started on a day before. So Amasai, when is this apply? When does this apply? Continues the Braisa. Bisman she hischo b'kodem abaser. Only if he started it before the 14th. Ava lo hischo b'kodem abaser. But if he didn't start it before the 14th, lo yascho b'abaser. Then he should not begin it on the 14th. Afilo tzulzo cotton. Afilo svacha k'tana. Even if it's a small belt or a small hairnet. So again, the implication is letzorech hamoyed ein shaloi letzorech hamoyed loy. So only now here the Braisa specifies that it's letzorech hamoyed. The Braisa had started by saying that kol malacha she letzorech hamoyed. So you're allowed to finish it, but you're not allowed to start it. So letzorech hamoyed ein shaloi letzorech hamoyed loy. So only if you're doing it letzorech hamoyed are you allowed to, but implying if it wasn't letzorech hamoyed, then you're not even allowed to finish it on Erev Pesach. The Gemara says not necessarily. Who adin da'afilu shelo letzorech nami gamrinan? No, not necessarily. Maybe the braisa means, maybe the mayor means that you are even allowed to finish it as long as you started it before Erev Pesach, as long as, even if it's not letzorech hamoed, because after all you did start it and now you're only finishing it. So just the opposite. Reb Meir wants us to realize that Reb Meir is telling us a chumra da'afilu letzorech hamoed nigmar ein aschuli loy. Even letzorech hamoed, you're only allowed to finish. You're not allowed to start. So in other words, fine. this is before Chatzos we're talking about. Again, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, maybe even after Chatzos, but everybody else disagrees with him on that. But what we're saying is like this, in other words. So fine, we can't say that it means, we started with three possibilities. One is that one possibility is that if it's Shloi Letzor HaMoyed, you can't finish it at all. That's the most stringent possibility. Another one was that if it's Letzor HaMoyed, you're even allowed to start it on Erev Pesach. The third one was that maybe it doesn't matter if it's Letzor HaMoyed or not, you're only allowed to finish. So fine, based on this last brisa, we can say, at least according to the mayor, the second one doesn't work out. You can't say that it means that you'd be allowed to start something for that you need for Yom Tov and finish it on Erev Pesach, because he's clearly saying that only Hiskoba. But you could say either of the other possibilities. You could say that a mayor is telling you this dispensation of finishing only applies if it's Letzor HaMoed, or he could be saying it applies equally well Letzor HaMoed and not. The point is, you shouldn't think, like the second way, that since it's Letzor HaMoed, you're allowed to start it on Erev Pesach, so he's telling you that no. But you still have the first and third possibilities are open. Okay. Toshma, Reb Meir, kol malacha shi letzor hamoyed goyim rabba abba aser, any malacha that's needed for where you need the thing for Yom Tov, goyim rabba abba aser, you can finish it on the 14th, v'she'en letzor hamoyed aser, if it's not for letzor hamoyed, then it's aser, implying also to finish it, v'oisin malacha ba'arib psachim ar chatzois v'mochim shenagu, and you're allowed to do malacha on Erev Pesach until chatzois in places where they have the minhag to. So now the implication is mokam shenagu ein loy nagu loy. So the obvious implication is that in a place where the minhag is not to do malacha, then you can't at all. Ushma mina. So therefore, we can conclude letzora chamoyed ein shloy letzora chamoyed loy, that even this dispensation of finishing something up only applies if it's letzora chamoyed. So you would need both. In other words, you need to be letzora chamoyed and that you're only finishing it, not starting it. Good. Shmamino, that proves it. So of the three possibilities that we mentioned, we accept the first possibilities. If it's Letzor HaMoed, you're allowed to finish it on Erev Pesach. If it's Shloi Letzor HaMoed, then you're not allowed to, even though you started it previously. Again, this is all there you have the machlokas we're showing him. Are we talking about in a place where mokum shenagu, or we're talking about a place mokum shaloi nagu? Whether we're saying that you were in a place where nagu, where they're allowed to do malacha, maybe according to them, you would actually be able to finish something even if it's not letzor hamoed. Okay, so you have different opinions about it in Shulchan Aruch. The Alter Rebbe Paskins Lakula, which, if I remember correctly, means if you can find the Chelik Gimel of the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, it's on the shelves down there. Never mind. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, so let's actually see. Let's see what it actually is. Yeah. Okay, so let's see. So he says that, in a mokum shenagu shaloi lasis, in a place where the minhag is not to do malacha, then it only means you can't start a malacha on the 14th. But if you started it before the 14th, even in a place where mokum shenagu shaloi lasis malacha, then you're allowed to finish it before chatzos, so if it's letzor hamoyed, so we do ultimately say you need letzor hamoyed, so you need both. You need letzor hamoyed, you need that you're only finishing. Such a thing is mutter even in a place that it's mokum shenagu shaloi lasis malacha, with the exception of the three that we mentioned in the Mishnah, they're allowed to even start a malacha on Erev Pesach morning. So that's the difference. The three that we mentioned in the Mishnah, tailors and barbers and not shoemakers, is only according to Rabbi Yosi Ben Yehuda. We're going to discuss in the Gemara why. But tailors, shoemakers, and laundrymen are allowed to do malacha on Erev Pesach in the morning, even in a place that where they're noyig not to do malacha. Because as the Gemara is going to talk about in a minute now why. But all other malachas, so if you need them, letzor hamoyed, and you're only finishing them on Erev Pesach, then you're allowed to do that even in a place, even in a mokum shaloi nagu. Yeah. Okay. We said in the Mishnah of Chachamim Omrim Shalosh Umanias, the Chacham said there's only three types of crafts that you're allowed to do on Erev Pesach, which again, we're saying lahalacha means that you're allowed to even start them on Erev Pesach. So Tana, we learn in a Braisa, why those three or four according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, hachayotin, tailors are allowed to do malacha erev Pesach morning. Shekein head yet tofa kedakri b'chol shel moed, because after all, you see, there was a heter as far as sewing even during chol moed, and chol moed is more chomer than erev Pesach. Because erev Pesach ultimately was saying, as a matter of minhag, chol moed is an actual halacha. But even then, a non-skilled person is allowed to sew on chol moed. So therefore the chacham said that when it comes to erev Pesach, which is more lenient than chol moed, then we can allow the tailors to do their work. A hedyot can even do it normally. A hedyot is not a professional. He doesn't do professional type sewing. He's allowed to do regular sewing on Chol HaMoed without doing a shinui. So therefore, erev Pesach morning, even the professional tailors, can do it regular. So because we're saying you're even allowed to start at erev Pesach if it's Lotzorech HaMoed. If it's Lotzorech HaMoed, if it's closed, they're going to need it. Maybe it takes more work, but it doesn't come out as nice necessarily. But so therefore we're saying he's allowed to do it. He's allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Yeah. Hasaporin vakovs. And what about as far as barbers and laundry men? Same idea. Shekena bomim dinasayam ba'yotzim beis hasurim masaperim mechabsim b'chol Chol HaMoed. Because the Mishnah tells us in Moed Katan that a person who came back from a long trip overseas, or a person who got out of jail, is allowed to take a haircut or wash his clothes during Chol HaMoed. So in other words, again, we see that there are heterim for those things during Chol HaMoed under certain circumstances. So therefore, by the same thing, we can be matu them more than anything else on Erev Pesach. Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, I'm afaratz onin. Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda says also shoemakers, shekein oyler agolim matat masaknin min alein b'chol Chol HaMoed. Because the Oile Regal, they're walking to Yerushalayim, so their shoes wear out, and they're allowed to get their shoes fixed during Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, my kamifigi. Okay, the Chachamim also agreed to that the Oile Regalim can get their shoes fixed. So what's the machlokes then? So the answer is, Mar Sava Lamedin Tchilas Malacha, Mesoif Malacha. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, once we see that you're allowed to do the later Malacha of fixing shoes, then you should also be allowed to do the earlier Malacha of making shoes, even on Erev Pesach morning. You can't learn like that. Fine, the end of the malacha, you have shoes, the straps are broken or whatever. Yeah, you can take them to a shoemaker and he can fix them to you, and he can fix them for you, but not to make shoes l'chatchila on Erev Pesach. Okay, the halacha is like a chachamim. So therefore, that's what it is that you're, so again, and the halacha, as the Alter Rebbe gives it in Shulchan Aruch, again, we're saying it's a machlokas rishonim on the details of it, is if you need it Lotzorech HaMoed, you're not allowed to start it on Erev Pesach, but you're allowed to finish it. Except if it's one of these three things, then you're even allowed to start it on Erev Pesach morning, as long as you'll finish it before Chatzos. So not like Rabbeinu Yonah, who says that you could even finish it after Chatzos, not like the Rambam who says that you can't finish anything in a place where Mokam Shalai Nagu, but rather something in between. Okay. The Mishnah says, here's more things that you're allowed to do on Erev Pesach. Again, the idea is that on Erev Pesach, we're saying that the morning of it, and even to a certain extent the afternoon of it, is more lenient than Chol HaMoed. So therefore, you have things that you're not allowed to do Chol HaMoed, but you're allowed to do on Erev Pesach. So the Mishnah says, "Moshivin shovchim the town of Golem biyodalid." You're allowed to set up shovchim for chickens on the 14th. And Rashi says, when you're setting up that the chicken is going to incubate the eggs, is going to sit on the eggs in order to hatch them, you're allowed to set that up on Erev Pesach. Another case. If a chicken was sitting on eggs and then ran away, you can bring it back to where it was, which you wouldn't necessarily be allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, but you're allowed to do it Erev Pesach. Rashi brings a different girsa, by the way, that not Meshiv and Shevchem litarnagolim, but Meshiv and Shevchem vitarnagolim, meaning there's two things. You can set up chicken, you can set up birdhouses for doves on Erev Pesach. You can also set up chickens to nest on eggs. Okay, the im mesa, and now the Gemara is going to ask, by the way, if you're allowed to put it up to begin with, then of course you should be allowed to return the chicken there. That's less malo. halacha involved. So why does the Mishnah need to mention that? So we'll see in the Gemara. The imesa, and if the chicken died while it was sitting on the eggs, then you can put another egg to you can put another chicken there, another hen to incubate the eggs, because otherwise they're going to spoil. The Mishnah continues, Gofin mitachas ragla behema b'yodalad. Another thing you're allowed to do Erev Pesach, you're allowed to sweep out all the dirt and the dung and everything from under the feet of the animals on Erev Pesach and sweep it out and then dispose of it in the normal way. Yeah, that's the idea. You want the egg to hatch. Yeah. So, but now we're saying something else, that you have an animal is in its stall and it produces waste and that has to be swept out. You're allowed to do that normally on Erev Pesach and sweep it out and get rid of it in the normal way. Over Moyed, meanwhile, on Chala Moyed, Mesalkin Letzdadin, all you can do is move it to the sides. You can't actually take it out. You can just move it to the sides so that you have room. So yeah. No, well, I mean, the animals don't care about the smell, really, but yeah, you just move it to the side, yeah. Another din, Malichin Kalim Mavim Mebesa Oman, you're allowed to take clothes or other Kalim to the craftsman, where he's going to be working on them, or bring them back from there. Afa Pisha Enim Letzor Chamoyed, even if you don't need them for Chalamoyed. So not necessarily that he's going to start working on them, because we said before, he can't start working on them on Erev Pesach, but you're allowed to bring it there and you're allowed to pick it up from him. You're allowed to pick it up from him on Erev Pesach, even if it's not Letzorech HaMoed. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Hashta Oisuvim Meisvinen. Now you're telling me you're allowed to put a chicken on the eggs on Erev Pesach. Ahaduri Miboya. Would we need to be said that if the chicken ran away that you're allowed to put it back? Obviously all the more so. Amar Abaya Sefer Asah on the Cholosh HaMoed. So Abaya says, you're right. When it talks about the town of Golos Shabarcha, means even on Chol HaMoed, you would be allowed to do that. On the 14th, you would be allowed to put a chicken to roost, to nest on the eggs, but not on Chol HaMoed. But if the chicken runs away, then it's a dover or ovod, and therefore you're allowed to, because otherwise the eggs are going to get ruined, and therefore you're allowed to do that even during Chol HaMoed. Now this is all only talking about that you're allowed to put the chicken back if it's within 3 days after it rebelled and ran away. Because within 3 days the heat of it has not yet left it. In other words, there you have the chicken, the chicken's actual body temperature goes up when it's incubating the eggs. So like this, that hasn't gone away yet completely. So therefore you put it back, it's still going to be effective. It'll be easier to put it back. It's more willing to go back and sit on the eggs. And va'acha shloisha leshivasa. And we're talking about that it had already been sitting on these eggs for 3 days. Depostula Bayla Gamri, where then if you don't have a chicken there to sit on them, then the eggs are going to be completely ruined. Because at this point they've already been incubated enough that the chick has started forming inside the egg, but not enough for it to actually fully develop. So therefore you're going to have a loss. So therefore you're allowed to. Aval la'acha shloisha lamirda, but if it's more than 3 days since the chicken ran away, the parach latsimra mina, where now the heat, the body heat of it, and the desire to sit on the eggs has gone away, and v'toich shloisha lishivasa da'akati lepsidi be'elagamri, or if it's within 3 days that it started incubating the eggs, where the eggs are now completely ruined, the chick hasn't really started developing in them yet, so you could eat those eggs. They're not maybe the best to eat, but they are edible. So then loy mahadrinan, then you're not allowed to put the chicken back. Rav Ami says no, you're even allowed to put back the chicken within the first three days of sitting on the eggs. So the Gemara says my what's the underlying machlokus? So Marisava Lahefsin Miruba Khoshashu, Lahefsin Mort Lai Khoshashu. So that Rav Huna holds that the Chachamim are only concerned about a major loss, not about a minor one. So therefore, eggs that were incubated for at least 3 days, there you're gonna have a complete hefsid. It's gonna be completely gone. You can't eat the egg and it's not gonna develop into a chick either. Within 3 days, now you have, it's already been sat on, it's already been like addled a little bit, it's cold. So it's not really the best thing to eat, but you could find people who would eat them. You might have to sell them at a discount, but you're gonna be able to find somebody to buy those eggs. So therefore, the opponent says that we're not concerned about. So therefore, if it's more than therefore, if it's less than 3 days after the after the chicken started sitting on the eggs, then we don't have a hatcher to put the chicken back. Just okay. So you'll have eggs that are slightly spoiled. You'll still be able to sell them. Omar Sover lahefsed mort nami choshishu. Whereas Reb Ami holds we're concerned even about a hefsed mort, and therefore you'd be allowed to put back the chicken there even if it's within 3 days. Because at that point already, the eggs are starting to get a little bit spoiled, even though the chick hasn't actually started developing yet. And at that point, you'd have to, the only way to sell them would be at a discount. And Reb Ami says you don't even have to take that lesser amount of hefsed. So you're allowed to go to the tircha of putting that, you're allowed to do the malacha and go to the tircha of putting the chicken back. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, gofen mitachas, we said you're allowed to sweep away the dung, the waste from under the animal's feet on Erev Pesach. But on Chol HaMoed, we said you can only move it to the side. So turn it on bottom, we learn in a Braisa, hazevel shebachotzer, the animal dung that's in a chotzer, mesalken oisel etzdadin, you're allowed to only move it to the sides. You're not allowed to sweep it up and put it in the garbage heap. But if it's in the animal stall in the barn where you keep the animals, v'shabachotzer, or it's in the chotzer, motzia noisel ashba, then you can take it out to the garbage heap. You seem to have a contradiction. First, you're saying that it's within the chotzer, you can only move it to the sides. Then you're saying you're allowed to bring it out to the garbage. So what is it? What are you allowed to do in a chotzer? So Abaye says the first part is talking about Chol HaMoed. The second part is talking about Erev Pesach. Again, Erev Pesach being more lenient, then you'd actually be able to take it out of the chotzer and take it out to the garbage heap. But during Chol HaMoed, you're only allowed to move it to the sides. Rava Omer Rava says no. Both dinim are talking about on Chol HaMoed. What the Braisa means to say, im Nasa chotzer kerefes, if the chotzer is so full of dung that it became like a barn where there's no room anymore to move anything to the sides, so then motzia noisel ashba, then you can take it out to the garbage heap even on Chol HaMoed. So it's a difference. So in other words, when we say refes sheba refes the sheba chotzer, we mean is a refes, a barn, or a chotzer which is like a refes in that regard. So either way, you'd be allowed to, but otherwise you can only move it to the sides. So now Rava is saying that we're talking even on Chol HaMoed. Even Chol HaMoed, which is more stringent than Erev Pesach, even then, if the chotzer became like a refes, so it's so full of dung, there's no place to move it to the side, then you're allowed to take it out to the ashba, but otherwise not. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Actually, not tomorrow, but to be exact.